Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
From Cargo J, Cargo J writes, Kevin, multiple opinions sounds serious, don't you think? ? Yeah, I said that seeking a second opinion on a quad injury is a bit of a red flag. Seeking multiple opinions, sure, yes. I mean, the reporting is his status is in doubt. We'll learn more from Quinn today, and we're going to carry Dan Quinn's press conference before practice begins at 12:30. But yeah, this doesn't sound great. We'll know more in about an hour and a half. You'll hear the Santana Moss conversation in about 30 minutes. But joining me right now is Josh Kendall. Josh covers the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic, as I've said many times. I am a subscriber to The Athletic. You should be as well. You can follow Josh on X at Josh The Athletic. Josh, I think this is a very dangerous game from our standpoint. I think the league proves, you know, every year it's week to week. We saw the Browns beat the Packers. We saw the Giants bounce back against the Cowboys and then look terrible. How do you think Atlanta responds to getting shut out 30-0?
I wish I could tell you, but absolutely, as the opponent coming in here,
do we have Josh? I hear. Okay, I can kind of hear him.
Hang on. Let's see if I can get a look.
Max, you want to try to reestablish? Let me hear you. Sorry, Josh, go ahead. Yeah, put him on hold and let's get a better connection with Josh. The Falcons, as I mentioned, lost 30-0 to the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers were 0-2, hadn't shown any sign of life. I mean, they had that week two comeback against the Cardinals, but they were truly getting their, you know, behinds kicked. And then they recovered an onside kick, which is pretty rare in the game, and had a chance to win at the end. But 30-0 sounds awful. And it probably was awful. Do we have Josh back? All right, Josh, I'm sorry. Bottom line is, I kind of think, you know, following the NFL as a fan, this is the kind of game where a team looks terrible and ends up looking like a completely different team the following week. What do you think?
I don't know. I think that as the opponent, you've got to assume that you're stepping into a hornet's nest and a team that's super motivated. But that loss to Carolina, as you've outlined just broadly, was as bad a professional loss as I've seen personally. That Carolina's not a good football team. Atlanta was coming off of a high, thought it had turned the corner, and looked offensively like they didn't know how to play. So I don't have any real grasp of how this team, with a second-year quarterback making his seventh start, that just fired its wide receivers coach, that has a head coach who still hasn't, you know, proven himself as a head coach. I don't know how this team is going to respond. Absolutely, coming out with their hair on fire and playing well is a possibility, but there are other possibilities too.
All right, so we most didn't see the game. I watched the condensed version. It was the worst Penix Jr. has looked by far. Are there concerns about him?
If there are, they are not saying them, and they will probably never admit them. From the moment that they benched Kirk Cousins between week 15 and 16 last year, they said, Michael Penix is our guy, and he's our guy of the future. We love this guy. We've loved this guy since we worked him out at the University of Washington. He's our guy. Just wait and see. And they have continued to say that they've been nothing but confirmed in all their love for him and everything that they've seen. But he's 2-4 as a starter, and it looked really, really bad last week. And he's completing 58% of his passes, which is what he completed last year, which is not going to be good enough. I'm not saying Michael Penix is the problem, because I see all of the positive qualities that they highlight Michael Penix. I see them as well. You can absolutely see it. And this guy could end up being this team's quarterback and a really good one for 5, 6, 7 years. That's on the table. But there may be, he's got to prove that he doesn't have and this offense has got to prove that they don't have a fatal flaw, which is they just can't complete enough passes. They can't get on the same page and throw accurate enough passes to complete enough passes to be a functioning offense.
So I'll let you in on something that all of my listeners know. I'm kind of a Kirk guy. I was a Kirk guy when he was here. I have followed his career in Minnesota. I watched, a lot of the games last year. He obviously got hurt. I think it was in that New Orleans game on the road, because he was a different quarterback after that. The locker room will tell the tale. Where is the locker room on the quarterback situation right now?
For now, they're with Penix, and I think that they've been with Penix since the Kenny guy, and I think it was since that gets put to the test right now. The Falcons opened themselves up to a controversy, to an issue, when they decided to keep Cousins around.
Yep.
So now they have it. They have said, Raheem Morris said Sunday, I asked him, will Kirk be competing for the starting job this week? Raheem said no. So this is, this is the Michael Penix show. They're not, and, they just signed a kicker on Tuesday to compete with their kicker who missed two kicks last week, because, as Raheem said, you've got to have competition. So I'm not sure why you not have a competition right now at the quarterback position, other than you have pushed all your chips into Michael Penix's basket and you're living and dying with him.
Talking to Josh Kendall, covers the Falcons for The Athletic. This is a better – well, let's stick with the offense for a moment. Because maybe Gibbs and Montgomery would be the better pairing at the running back position, but Algier and Bijan are close. They ran the football so well against that Minnesota defense in week two. What happened last week?
Well, they ran it. They could barely run it in week one, and they were stunned. They were surprised, and they said they challenged their offensive line, and the offensive line came out and responded really well against Minnesota, and they absolutely did dominate with the run game against Minnesota. And so I don't know if the offensive line decided that was enough. 1 week was enough. That's plenty. And so, we're just going to have another dud game, or if it was a game planning issue. To be frank, I'm not smart enough to dissect that, sitting in the press box. I couldn't tell you. But I would expect them to go back to a more Minnesota-like game plan. I would expect them to say, we're going to take a lot off this quarterback's plate right now, and we're going to put a lot of pressure on this offensive line, and we're going to give the ball to 7 and 25 and hope that that settles us down offensively.
What about defense? It looks revamped. It looks a lot better. Got a little bit better as the season went along last year, because it was not a good defense for much of the year. What does Washington face in Atlanta's defense this week?
A better unit than a year ago. The Commanders faced a defense that just didn't have many answers toward the end of last year and didn't have any confidence. this group is different. This group has a lot more confidence and has some answers. They didn't play poorly against the Panthers. They didn't play great. Possible nation. Mike Penix threw a pick six, and it just rolled against them. So
yeah.
There will be some pass rush. There will be a team that adjusts and, you know, has a chance. Gives the Falcons a fight.
Yeah, we're just having some issues with Josh's phone. So if you want to try to reestablish again, Max, one more time, and if we can't get it right, we're good. We got a lot of the information that we need from Josh. Look, it comes down to, you know, when you draft a quarterback that high, you know, you're not going to wait around forever. I really think that the Falcons did themselves. You should always be thinking about quarterback, especially when you've got an older quarterback. But they went out and paid Kirk a hell of a lot of money in free agency. And then they ended up drafting a quarterback that was always going to be there lurking if anything went wrong. Kirk got, you know, injured a little bit during the season last year. His performance went downhill, and they took that opportunity to get Penix into the lineup when they were still very much in a playoff race. You know, they had a 3-game lead at one point over Tampa last year, and they had swept Tampa. Do we have him back? Okay, sorry about that, Josh. Your phone just keeps breaking up, but I appreciate
you. No, my fault. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all right. I appreciate you giving the time. But I was just saying, you know, going back to the drafting of Michael Penix Jr., you know, a month and a half after giving Kirk all of that money, what's the thought on that today?
The thought on that 3 weeks ago was great. We told you so, and I think the thought in Atlanta right now is still we told you so. I think that their belief in Michael Penix is legitimate. You know, I think that they are very publicly confident, and I think that they legitimately feel that. I don't think that they're faking that. They still believe that they've got their quarterback of the future, and so they believe that no amount of resources was too much to invest to assure that outcome, whether it ended up being Kirk or Michael Penix. So they would tell you, they would still argue that they believe they made the right decision. I think that you can certainly make an argument that it's not going to be the right decision, or it hasn't been the right decision, or it wasn't the right decision, however we want to couch it. But they are, you know, they're a couple of weeks away from having a real mess at quarterback.
You know, that's the problem, right? When you have a backup like that that's making that much money, you decided not to move him during the offseason and you're going with the rookie, there's little patience. And that's unfortunate because Penix does have talent. And like you said, he's about to make his seventh or eighth start this particular week. I mean, we've seen veteran quarterbacks, you know, resuscitate their careers in their 30s. It's just so incredibly unrealistic to expect a Jaden Daniels kind of rookie season out of most of these young quarterbacks. Is Raheem in trouble if they don't win more than they lose this year?
Depends on how close it is. If they are 8-9, I don't think he's in significant trouble. No, because 8-9 is what this team has been for basically the last decade. So I think that they can survive that. If they're 5-12, yeah, he's in trouble.
All right. Lastly, by the way, so the answer to getting beat 30-0 is letting the wide receivers coach go. Ike, you know, Ike was a part of this staff here with the Shanahans, with Raheem, you know, back in the early 2010s. Did that satisfy anybody?
No, not at all. I mean, I think if anything, that just – if you were making the if they were making the move to sort of shut up the critics, I think they only emboldened the critics because the critics all said that's a dumb reaction to a terrible overall offensive performance. So you would hope that that's not why they made the move. You would hope that they made the move because they have correctly diagnosed the fact that the reason that Michael Penix and the wide receivers looked like they were playing a different game on Sunday was the fault of the wide receivers, and we have to get that fixed. And once we get that fixed, everything will be fine. If that turns out to be, then it's
yeah.
happen.
All right, Josh is breaking up again. We'll let him go, but thanks, Josh, if you can hear me. Appreciate the time. You know, it's interesting, Max. They got a good receiving core. Drake London is a big target. Darnell Mooney had a career year. Drake London had a career year last year. Kyle Pitts was kind of the question mark, you know, after getting drafted so high. There was a lot of question about his work ethic, about his blocking ability. They've got talent. I mean, every team's got talent, but they actually have talent at the skill position players offensively. And as Josh said, defensively, they're capable. So it comes down to the quarterback, as it often does. And Penix Jr. had a rough game last week, really, truly his worst game. I think the other concern would be what he said about the completion percentage, you know, going back to his starts, you know, last year as well. He's basically, you know, somewhere in the low to mid 50s completion percentage wise right now in his starts. That's not going to be good enough. You got to be in the league now. You got to be in the, you know, low to mid 60s, you know, pretty much consistently to have an offense that can be consistent and sustained drives, et cetera. And man, he's got some targets there, including his backs, you know, and with Zach Robinson, the OC who came from Sean McVay's squad in LA, you know, there's a lot of Shanahan elements to this offense, a lot of Sean McVay elements to this offense. Now, they didn't seem to do it a lot last year early with the play action, the under center stuff, but I think they've done more of it with Penix Jr. But you got to complete a higher percentage when you're in that kind of an offense, you know, and you can run the football. You got to be at a higher percentage. And that's probably the most important part of what he said. You know, it's not the two picks and the two bad picks. When you're at a completion percentage in the mid-50s and you've got the running game that you have with Bijan and with Tyler Algier, that is not a good early sign. I'm a Penix Jr. guy. I loved him coming out. I thought and still think he's got a chance to be a really, really good NFL quarterback. It's so early, but you got to get that completion percentage up. And wouldn't surprise me if they get, you know, try to get him some easy stuff early in that game. They will try to run the football. And Washington's improvement through three games compared to last year in the run defense area is meaningful. Very meaningful. I understand the Giants and the Raiders were two of the three opponents. I don't think they did a terrible job against the run in the Green Bay game. But that, you know, Atlanta's going to want to run the football. They're going to want to come out. They're going to want to run the football. They did it against a very good Minnesota defense in that game. Bijan went for 143. Tyler Algier, 16 for 76. They had 218 yards rushing against that Viking defense. What happened on Sunday is because of the turnovers, they got behind. They tried to chase it through the air, so they got away from the run game. But they're going to try to run the football, and this will be, for sure, among the four games Washington's played so far, this will be the biggest test run game-wise. Now, I would think if they have any doubts about whether or not they can stop the run with seven in the box, they'll make Penix beat them and load the box to stop those two backs. You can't let them get going early. And I would imagine that's number one on the defensive game plan. Stop the run Sunday. Make Penix Jr., who's dealing with some stuff right now for sure after that game, make him beat you. All right. As I said 20 minutes ago, you'll hear Santana Moss and I reminisce about 20 years ago this week, the Monday Night Miracle. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Oh, hang it in. Going deep, and it passes caught for a touchdown by Santana Moss. And the Washington Redskins finally get into the end zone in 2005. From the 30, Brunell going deep for Moss again. He makes the catch, and Santana Moss for a touchdown. Wow! And again, it's Glenn and Williams on the coverage. He beats the same two guys.
Unbelievable. He just outran him, and Mark Brunell got it out there.
Al Michaels, John Madden on Monday Night Football 20 years ago this week, the Monday Night Miracle. Simply put, one of the most shocking endings to a Redskins game in franchise history, and certainly in terms of the shock value, right up there at the top of the list of some of the most memorable Skins-Cowboys games in history. 20 years has passed since that night. And I had Santana Moss on to reminisce about that night on my podcast earlier this week. And what was funny about it is when we started to talk about that before we started to talk with the podcast recording, I said, do you know what this week is in terms of a 20-year anniversary? And he had no idea, and that's where we kicked it off.
Yeah, I had no clue. So I mean, but just you asking me kind of gave me that kind of maybe it's something dealing with me. So I just luckily, you know, said that date.
All right, let's go back 20 years ago. Week 2, Dallas on Monday Night Football. Remember the opener that year? That this was Joe Gibbs's second season. This was your first season in Washington. We had the Lavernius Coles season, and then, you know, he didn't want to be here, and Clinton takes credit for the trade that brought you here. It was a low-scoring defensive game in the opener against the Bears. Ramsey, you know, went out. Brunell came in. I think Gibbs wanted Brunell from the beginning. Do you remember it that way? Do you remember kind of Joe wanting, you know, a reason to put Brunell in the game?
I had no clue. Remember, I was fresh. I was like a fish out of water. I had no clue what was going on
right
around me.
Right. Okay. So we get to Dallas. You guys haven't scored a touchdown in the first seven quarters of the season, even though you beat the Bears. It was three field goals. And you're getting beat 13-0. And Santana, I swear to you, as a fan watching this game, you know, most people, except for the diehards, turn this thing off. It was an ugly game. We couldn't score. Dallas was up 13-0. You know, what are your memories of that night before lightning struck in the final 4 minutes of the game?
Just what you said, man. It was an ugly game, and that's why one of the reasons why it took me so long to say this was one of my favorite games. And I had to be reminded by the fan base that, hey, this is what happens when we play Dallas. This is why this game is so special. So, you know, being a guy that had already played 4 years in New York, and this was my first time being a part of this rivalry, I had no clue why the game was so special to this fan base. So it took me a while. But after I made those two scores, you know, and probably some weeks later, I had no clue, man, but I'm glad that I was a part of that, and I'm glad I was the guy that did it, because that was like my introduction. That was like, here you go, you know, that was like my welcome to DC moment, and I couldn't be more thankful.
It was a 4th and 15 with just under 4 minutes to go, down 13-0, when Mark Brunell threw the first touchdown pass to you. 4th and 15. You guys on that drive had overcome a 3rd and 27. Brunell ran, and on 4th and 2, he found James Thrash for a completion. It's 4th and 15. Still seems like there's no prayer. What do you remember about that first touchdown?
Well, the first touchdown came, I was on the sideline kind of pouting, and CP came over to me, like, asking me, you know, what's wrong. And, you know, normally that's how we do. When the game is about over, we kind of start getting our mindset for the flight and what we got to do next week. And CP, like, what's wrong, bro? And I'm like, what you mean, what's wrong? You know, and that's like my first initial thought to him, and that's what came out. And I'm like, bro, I ran all these plays on Friday that I told him that I liked. You know, that I want to run against Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn was a teammate of mine with the Jets, and I thought the world of him. And to be honest with you, Aaron Glenn was the reason that I thought that my game was where it was at, because he kind of followed me around my rookie season in practice, like, hey, I'm going to get you right, and you're going to get me right. And so I thought the world of Aaron Glenn. But I remember watching him go up against Marvin Harrison and all these other guys in our division in the AFC East. So I gave Coach all these plays, like, Coach, I want to run this. I can run every route that I'm giving you and more, but I like these routes against Aaron Glenn. And we get to that point of the game, and I hadn't ran one yet. And I also probably only had one or two catches in that game. So when I tell CP that, you know, I'm pissed off that I didn't get a chance to do all these routes that we practiced that Friday, CP comes back with Coach Gibbs, and Coach Gibbs' first initial word to me was like, hey, you want to run Dino? And I'm like, I looked at the clock, and I'm like, sure, Coach, I'll run Dino. Like, I didn't want to give him my, you know what, the kiss, but I was pissed off. So I'm like, yeah, Coach, of course I want to run Dino. And that's all I remember. I remember him saying, okay, we're going to do it if we get the ball back. And that was the first route. That was the first touchdown. And after that, it was like, oh, man. I guess he looked at it, was like, this is why this guy pissed off. He knows he can do this. And then I come back to the sideline, and he tells me, great job. If we get the ball back, we going at him again. Rest was history.
So I'm learning something here for the first time, and I think a lot of people are learning it for the first time too. Clinton, who takes credit for bringing you to Washington, to going to Gibbs and saying, well, let's just go get Santana. You know, yeah. If Lavernius Goles wants out of here, we'll go get let's go get Santana Moss. So that trade happens, and you're telling me in one of the most memorable Redskins-Cowboys games of all time, the game is over, you're over there, they haven't run the play that you – first of all, let me back up. Would you typically on a Thursday or a Friday go to the coach, go to the OC and say, hey, these are the ones I like?
Man, you know what? To be honest with you, that was my first experience of really being their kind of, I guess you could say, quote unquote, go-to guy.
Right.
That they started asking me, do I like these routes? And that was kind of like alarming to me as a guy, like, you know, where I just came from, they care less what I like, but they gave me, you know, the ball whenever the ball come. And, you know, and I'm being the guy who I was, you know, I made the play. So when I got that kind of rapport with them after that first week, I just, you know, that week leading up into that game, you know, they asked me, hey, what routes do you like? And I just say, hey, here's the list of routes I want. You know what I mean? And so that's what I had with that particular coaching staff. And it worked tremendously for me because if you saw that year, that was one of my best years.
Oh, yeah.
And I was mad that after that season that we didn't have that same rapport because it's like now we get a different offense in the next year and they don't ask me those questions no more.
You know, the other thing Clinton for that season takes credit for, and I think you've confirmed this with me before, is that Joe and company wanted in Vinny, they wanted to take Kellen Winslow, and
yeah,
Clinton,
and he asked them to get Sean.
Yeah, Clinton said, you should take Sean Taylor, and Gibbs said, well, we really want offense, and Clinton said, well, if you want offense, take Sean Taylor. That was his answer. Like, if you want the football and you want, then take Sean Taylor. And, of course, that was Taylor's rookie season.
I kid you not, for the fans that know all the other stuff that Clinton was about with the, you know, the little funny costumes and stuff of that nature and just the way he did things.
Yeah.
Clinton had a way about going and talking to, and when I say adults, I always feel like I look at my coaches as like that's like your mom and your dad. Like you don't go to talk to them like you would talk to your friends or your siblings.
Right.
But Clinton had a way of talking to the ownership, to the head coach, better than any other player I ever been around. He always got his way with them. So yes, I hate to say it, but he was a guy that could go talk to anybody and tell you what he thought or what he felt should happen.
By the way, it didn't really work with Jim Zorn, though, did it?
Not at all. I think, and much as I like his Jim, Clinton didn't like Zorn the way same I liked him, and I think it rubbed him wrong that Clinton was one of those guys that would just say what was on his mind.
Right. All right. So the first one on 4th and 15 makes it 13-7. We get the ball back, under 3 to go. Just about 2.5 minutes to go at your own 30, 1st and 10. And so the play call comes in again, and it's the same play?
So it's not the same play. It's still a post.
Yeah.
But this time it's just a beeline post. And he was like, it was crazy because I remember that play when we called the second one, they lined me up on the left side of the field. And I'm not sure if we brought the play in wrong, or it was just, you know, said out the huddle. So we called a timeout, if I'm not mistaken, and then we changed it. We flipped to the right side because Coach wanted to make sure I got on that side with Roy Williams and Aaron Glenn. And when I got on that side, I just looked at the coverage, and I'm like, wow, this guy, Roy Williams, is still sitting. He's not high enough. He's sitting squatting at, I'm thinking, almost 16 to 20 yards deep, and I'm watching where him and Aaron was kind of shading each other, and I'm like, this is cover four again. They're sitting in cover four. Roy is playing for something underneath. So I kind of made my route. Instead of running a regular post attacking Aaron, I kind of attacked in the middle between both of them. So when I put that foot in the ground, when I take my initial two steps towards that post, I should be able to get behind Roy a little quicker. And man, thank God that you got an old veteran, you know, that just know how to throw the ball. Mark Brunell threw the ball before I put my foot in the ground, and when I looked up, by the time I looked up, the ball was already coming down.
Yeah, and it's kind of an over the shoulder catch on that one. It was perfectly thrown, right?
Yes, perfectly thrown.
And I'm watching the play right now. Brunell's got time. He steps up in the pocket, and there it is. And when it lands in your hands, I mean, it was like, you know, sports are so great because, you know, when you least expect it, but it's still shocking. That is truly one of the more shocking couple of minutes of football for this franchise I have ever watched. It's not over yet. You're up 14-13, but tell me, after you go into the end zone, you're coming back to the sideline, what went on at that point? Gibbs is like, what took me so long?
Everybody was just ecstatic, man. They was looking at me like, oh, you know, know what, this is what we got in this guy with number 89 on. And it was crazy to see the reaction from my teammates, because all of them have respect of you from wherever they've seen you play at, from your U days, from my days with the Jets, and even with some of the things that I was doing up to that point. But the playmaking, when you're making plays like that in crucial moments of games, you kind of get a different look from your teammates. You get a different stare, like that almost like, oh, he's that guy. And you can see that from everybody. Like, their eyes was big. They was hitting me so hard on my head. And I'm just one of those nonchalant guys, like, man, you know, I was happy, but I was still at the same point, like, damn, we waited all this time to do this.
Right.
And CP and Sean was the guys that I really, you know, we just had a way of connecting and speaking to each other without even saying anything. And when CP hit me, like, I told him, and then Sean came to me and said, I'm going to get this ball back. And that's when I knew, like, okay, you know, we got that same kind of swag that we had at UM. You know, even though Sean didn't play with me and CP, we speak the same language. And Sean kind of took that as, now it's my time to go out here and make a play so I can make sure that these guys don't score this next time out.
Yeah, remember he blew up Patrick Creighton over the middle?
Yeah.
And got the stop. You know, I'm looking at the play-by-play of the game. This part, I guess I don't remember. You guys actually got the ball back after Sean crushed Patrick Creighton, and then Walt Harris mm-hmm. had a big play on Terry Glenn. And you yep. got the ball back. They had timeouts left, and Clinton ran three times, and then you guys punted, and they had one yep. last opportunity, but with no timeouts left and deep in their own territory, and the rest is history. So, you know, over the years, like, you know, you mentioned, like, you didn't know what Dallas Washington meant going in. You were new,
yeah.
Clearly. What has that game meant to you, you know, over the last 20 years?
Are you kidding me? It meant my whole career. Honestly, like, I don't know if it was, like, something that ignited my performances for the future with those guys, but it seemed like every Dallas game, no matter what coaching staff was here, if they wasn't giving me the ball the way I wanted the game before or the week before, they found a way to involve me in the game plan come Dallas week. So it was just like one of those things to where sometimes as a player I get mad thinking about it, like, you mean to tell me we gonna wait the Dallas week to get me off instead of just giving me the ball every week like this?
Yeah.
But it meant the world to me, man. I think when you look back at my career here, what better way to start your career here, you know, with this franchise, and to have that kind of effect against that team, but also have that effect that I had with, you know, the fan base, knowing that you can count on 89. And it wasn't something that just happened when I played Dallas, but they knew that when we played those guys, it was going to probably, you know, my play was going to rise because the coaching staff was going to make sure they found a way to get me the ball.
I'll tell you what, seriously, it's one of those nights as a fan of this team. Like, I remember exactly where I was. I remember exactly never thought about turning the game off. I was never one of those people that gave up. You know, all right, 13-0, it's two scores. It didn't seem very likely. But, like, it was one of those games when it was over, it was so thrilling, it was, like, almost impossible to go to sleep. It was actually my second year in radio, and I was doing this kind of post game of the Skins games for 980, but because it was a Monday night game, they didn't have the post game show on, so I was home watching the game, and I'll never forget it. You know, you had so many memorable games, but nothing compares to that. Like, I do think of that Jacksonville catch in overtime that you took, you know, the big catch from Jason who threw that ball to you to beat the Saints. You know, that year. But, you know, I'm looking at that season, you know, which ended up being a playoff season, as we know.
Yeah.
The next three games after that Dallas game, you got targeted 12, 13, and 14 times. So it was a bit different after that game.
Yeah, it was a huge difference, man. And that's why I say, as a player, you don't kind of – you're in the moment, so you're not really thinking about it until you think about it. And when I reflect all the time, I'm like, wow, that season, I was tearing it up when it comes to 100-yard games
yeah.
like no other season in my career, because now this new team that I'm on is like, feed 89 the ball. Feed whatever you do, feed 89 the ball. But not also not just feed me the ball. It was Mark Brunell most of the time, because Mark was a guy, even when I wasn't in the progression, he would come find me. And he would tell me, 89, leaving the huddle, I love the fact of playing with older quarterbacks, because it's the same thing that I had against Vinny Testaverde in New York.
Yeah.
When I would leave the huddle, after making a couple of plays with these guys, they would just know to say, hey, stay with me backside. I might come to you. So when you have that kind of confidence in your player as a quarterback, you know, I can just imagine what they was going through when they say, hey, man, and when in doubt, I'm throwing to the guy who's going to get me, who's going to catch this ball and do something with it. And that's what Mark and Vinny would do with me. So I remember that year, man, Mark just, I would be backside. Even against that 2006 game when we played Jacksonville,
yeah,
that play I ran early in the first half. Mark asked me early in the first half, were you open? I said, of course. But the coverage was kind of like man that time. The second time he threw it to me that I scored on it, I wasn't open. But Mark just knew, man, Tanner's going to go up and try to make an attempt for this ball, so I'm going to throw it to him. So it's one of those things, man, when a quarterback feels you're going to make him right, he's going to always find you.
Santana Moss, everybody. What a career here in Washington. He went into the Ring of Fame just a few weeks ago during the opener against the Giants. A welcome entrant into that Ring of Fame, and deserving as well. Santana Moss, third on the reception list franchise all time, behind two Hall of Famers in Art Monk and Charlie Taylor. Reception yards, he is fourth all time, trailing Monk, Taylor, and Gary Clark. You know, I've referenced this list of, you know, the really good receivers in franchise history, of which you are one of them, a lot over the last, you know, few months during the Terry McLaurin contract, you know, discussions, because Terry's, you know, moving up quickly on this list. But what a player, what a career here, and what a memory you provided. Truly one of the most memorable, you know, regular season games in franchise history. I really appreciate you doing this. Hope you're well, and let's talk soon.
No doubt, man. You know, one of the things about me when it comes to all that, I don't play the game for it. And I feel that that's the mindset we're supposed to have. But you hear a lot of guys that think differently. They're like, look, I play for the Pro Bowls. I play for the Hall of Fame. I play because I was gifted enough to play this game. And I was also, it was a privilege to me to play. But at the same time, you go out there and say, I just want to be able to hold myself accountable and make sure my teammates know that when in doubt, this guy who's out here, you know, making these plays are going to be somebody that we can always trust in. So to have that career, to have the accolades afterwards, man, it's always a blessing. But, you know, I just enjoy knowing that I had that effect, and I was a guy that the fan base look at the way they look at now.
Well, and for those of us that just know you even a little bit, you've been a total class act since the moment you arrived 20 years ago, and I think people appreciate that about you as well. Hope you're well. We'll do this again soon. Thanks for this.
Always, man. Thank you.
Santana Moss reminiscing about that game 20 years ago this week. All right. There is an interesting connection between one of our regular callers and the doctor that Terry McLaurin sought an opinion on as it relates to perhaps his quad injury. That caller has weighed in, and I'm going to share that information with you when we come back. Ben Standig will join us at 12 from the park. Dan Quinn scheduled to talk next hour. We will carry that live. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. All of our NFL talk here on the show is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, happy Wednesday, everybody. Here is what's happening. We start off with Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy. He was let go yesterday after more than 20 years in his position. The firing comes after Oklahoma State's first loss to Tulsa since 1951, and the writing was already on the wall prior to the season after a winless Big 12 conference record and a 52-0 loss to Colorado to close out their season. The Guardians, they caught the Detroit Tigers in the race to win the AL Central after Detroit's starting pitcher Tarik Skubal collapsed and gave up three runs in the sixth inning with a 2-0 lead. The Guardians playing hot right now. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and the Tigers sliding currently as they are 1-9 in their last 10. Now, the two teams are tied for the AL Central lead with just a few games left to go in the season, by the way. The Nats, they fall to the Braves by a score of 3-2. Brad Lord goes six innings, giving up four hits and two earned runs, both of which solo home runs. The boys in blue and white unable to get to light up the offense outside of a James Woods solo home run. They will take on the Braves one final time this season before turning their attention to the Chicago White Sox. First pitch at 12:15 on 106.7 The Fan, and Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave right now at 11:45 on The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all of football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
This segment of the show is brought to you by IHOP, introducing the IHOP Value Menu, where all your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big, filling, sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP Value Menu, available every day at IHOP, $7 in some locations. Still, pretty good deal. For, you know, a big stack with some eggs and other protein. All right. So during the show, Sabah sent me a direct message. and I'm going to read it to you. This is about the Terry McLaurin injury. We will find out more. Ben's going to join us at 12. Dan Quinn set to speak to the media at around 12:30, where I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about Jaden and Terry. Sabah writes, Kevin, William Myers, well, let me back up. Ian Rappaport's report earlier this morning was that Terry had sought out multiple opinions, several, in fact, including from Dr. William Myers, the nation's expert in core muscle injuries. So Sabah wrote and said, Kevin, William Myers is who trained me during my surgical residency, actually signed my degree as he was the program director. He is the expert on sports hernias. I probably did about 20 of those surgeries with him, usually on NHL and MLB players in Boston at that time. She went to the University of Massachusetts for med school. She writes, it was a real easy and quick procedure, but likely will require at least 6 weeks before going back to play football. And then she attached, I guess, some sort of resume from Dr. William Myers, formerly the chairman of surgery at the University of Mass, Massachusetts, University of Mass, Worcester, is a renowned expert on core muscle injuries, often called sports hernias. I'm having a difficult time reading some of this stuff. But basically, she's saying, I was at UMass doing my surgical residency. He showed up. I did a bunch of surgeries with him. This is, if he sought out William Myers, very likely a sports hernia injury, which is 6 weeks before going back to playing football. Okay? Look, I think it's certainly the idea that he is seeking many different opinions tells you that it is something of significance here. You know, we went from should have been a touchdown to him not coming back into the game, it being called a quad injury, not really knowing anything about it because the team doesn't tell you anything about these things, and that's fine. Quinn on Monday saying we'll have more on some of the other injuries, including Terry's on Wednesday, to now we've gotten multiple reports about seeking many different opinions. And Dr. Sabah, there you go. With, you know, what she believes we are going to find out. We'll see. I know others are shaking their heads saying she was involved in 20 different surgeries with this guy. Yes, Sabah is a doctor, for those of you that didn't know. She's also a very passionate football fan, Washington football fan. I'm sure she would have had her arm raised high up into the air had Taylor Heinicke had a sports hernia injury. She would have loved to have been involved in that surgery on Taylor Heinicke. But fortunately, he didn't have that injury at any point during his career. Some quick NFL news. Tom Brady, in his weekly newsletter, he writes a weekly newsletter entitled Do Your Job, responded to those that believe there's a conflict between him calling games as the Fox lead number one team analyst and being a part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, to the extent in which he is talking to Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator, and Pete Carroll, the head coach, multiple times a week, and sitting in the box during the game on the headset, as he was viewed a week and a half ago, or just over 2 weeks, or just over a week ago, in that game in Vegas against the Chargers. He wrote the following, quote, only the paranoid and distrustful would believe that there's a conflict. I love football. At its core, it is a game of principles. And with all the success it has given me, I feel I have a moral and ethical duty to the sport, which is why the point where my roles in it intersect is not actually a point of conflict, despite what the paranoid and distrustful might believe. Rather, it's the place from which my ethical duty emerges to grow, evolve, and improve the game that has given me everything. Closed quote. Yeah, that's nice, Tom, and you are the GOAT. And as we've talked about this on this show anyway, I don't believe that Tom Brady is using the information from conversations with coaches and coordinators and players to use it as a competitive gain for the team that he is not only a part owner of, but also apparently is involved in terms of talking to coaches, head coach, offensive coordinator, and even sitting in on the headset on some of these games. No one's made that accusation. The issue is optics, and as much as Tom Brady is a believable figure as the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, the NFL can't really afford to have those optics and that perception. And by the way, teams will have those, you know, perceptions as well. And the teams can protect themselves, clearly, even if they totally believe in Tom Brady and the information that they are sharing with him is the utmost of confidential, other than to use for the, you know, during the calling of the game that he's the lead analyst on. But teams don't have to tell him anything. Teams can, you know, essentially give Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhart and their producers no information at all, or even bogus information if they want to lead them astray, which, by the way, I think has probably happened in the past too. There are lots of teams that don't give up anything. There are probably some teams that, you know, figure, you know, it's not going to be a problem if I give them information that isn't accurate. But what we have found over the years is that, and this is why I'm usually very intent on listening to the broadcasters that call my team's games, is they will get a nugget or two, and they'll let that nugget loose at some point during the game. You know, insight, background information that perhaps nobody else has gotten. All right, Ben Standing next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.